near Monument Square, featuring American food with an international twist in a serene setting with intimate and exotic touches. Online at verointernationalcuisine.com.
Support comes from the App Factory at UW Parkside. Is your business or nonprofit in need of a mobile app? Student interns at the App Factory make state-of-the-art and user-friendly apps for phones and other mobile devices. Web applications, too. For more information, visit appfactory.uwp.edu.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters with WGTD 91.1 FM. It is a pleasure to have you here with me today, as you usually are when I'm speaking, hopefully. But many of you may not know that my career background actually includes me working with many at-risk youth in the community in different aspects of areas with regards to human services. And what I understand from my experience and my work is that social ills among our youth can impact us all. For example, high dropout rates in our schools actually make it kind of challenging to get some skillful employees when we need them to work our jobs. And then gang violence actually increases crime rates, which has a ripple effect that touches us all in a negative way. So, today we are going to be talking to the director of the Violence Free Zone program, Maurice Horton. Welcome, Maurice.
Thank you.
It is great to have you join us today and talk about how your program is actually going to assist in decreasing crime related to gang violence and gangs in the community.
The Violence Free Violence Free Zone program was put into the elementary schools as a pilot program a year and a half ago in Starbuck Middle School. We did it with probably like three youth advisor workers in the school. And what we did find out that having them inside the school, that after 4 months or 5 months of being into the school, we start seeing a decrease in daytime calls for service from the police department to the school. We also noticed that by being in the school for the 4 or 5 months that we were in there, there was a decrease in fights that was happening at the schools. So the Racine Unified School District looked at the data, and they said that we had made a decrease in some of the calls for service and actual fights in the schools. When we started in the school, we were at 64% for troubled youth. In a five-month period, that went down to 53%. Fights were at 31%, and in the five-month period, went down to 7%. So something was actually working for the Violence Free Zone program. And what we found out at the end of the 5 months of this pilot program, that mentoring our youth and following them daily and keeping a caseload and caseload on the students and assisting them on a one-on-one basis every day was being effective in our schools.
Okay, so you have a background and you have a program where you work and provide services through Y Gangs.
Yes.
But the Violence Free Zone program, it includes other things including gang violence, but just period violence. Is that what I'm hearing that you're saying?
Yes, the Violence Free Zone program is based out of Washington, D.C., the Center of Neighborhood Enterprise. Bob Woodson is the founder of the Violence Free Zone program. I had an opportunity to meet Mr. Woodson probably about a year and a half ago when this initiative came to Racine. Mm-hmm. He has been a pioneer fighting against poverty for over 35 years or more. When the program was brought to Racine, they kind of like sought me out, and they had heard a lot about my background and me working with youth that were in gangs. I came with the Violence Free Zone program, And what we do is we hire people from the communities in which the kids live.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that at any given time, we're at school with them, and we're also in the communities where they live.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important parts of that is that building a relationship with the youth, talking about what's going on in the neighborhoods, and also talking about some of the things that they have concerns about.
Mm-hmm.
And so also while being in the schools, you know, we're tracking gang violence. We're looking at logos, or we're looking at gang signs that might be written on notebooks. And with my background of being in this area of dealing with gangs, identifying those things, one, keep the schools safe, and also give us an opportunity to work with the youth on how to get out the situation that they might be in.
Okay. Now, speaking of your background, I do have to admit that I read a little bit about your background, and your background is a little non-traditional for what it would seem like you would be doing. Could you tell us a little bit about your background? Share with the readers how your background actually has transitioned you into what you're doing now and how it adds value to us as citizens.
My background, I'm originally from Chicago, the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Chicago. I graduated from George W. Collins on the west side of Chicago. Coming from Chicago, I ended up moving here to Racine. I ended up selling drugs here in Racine. They used to have a block, which is Anthony Lane now. It used to be called Jacaro Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Me and some of my brothers and others, people from Chicago, we moved here. One thing we did when we moved here for a better life, but we still came here with the same Chicago mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We got into drug selling and distribution of drugs, the entire block of Jacaro Drive, and it became a way of living. It also became a lifestyle for us. A lot of times when you're getting into this, you're not thinking about all the people that you hurt, or
exactly,
the kids that are involved with the families that you're serving this narcotics to.
Right.
You're mainly thinking about yourself. So I got here, and in 1992, I was arrested. I was arrested here in Racine. I ended up going to prison. But before, mm-hmm, I went to prison, I absconded from the law. I had been gone, mm-hmm, for about 3 or 4 years. I had been picked up by the U.S. Marshals, brought back here to Racine to do my time. One of the things in the process of doing that, I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I took it as a learning experience that if I can change my life, anybody could. They always say that, you know, once a felon, always a felon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just beg to differ that is not true. I ended up getting out of prison. I've been the president of the choir for about at least 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I promised myself while in the institution, that once I got out, that I would go back and help the neighborhoods and help the people of those that I took from back in 1992 when we were doing the things that we shouldn't have not been doing.
Okay. And it is such a refreshing experience to hear from you and your testimony pretty much on how you were able to turn it around, because in the job in which I work, I actually work with inmates in a prison in Sturtevant where I assist them with reentry into the community. And sometimes it can be challenging to convince them that you can turn it around, that you can use your life experiences to add value to your community instead of taking away from it. So tell me, what are some of the services that the Violence Free Zone program provide? What do you do? Is there one-on-one counseling? Is there assistance with obtaining food? If there's home issues, is there, what service do you provide that actually matters enough to a child or a student that instead of selling drugs or doing something illegal that may get money that they could get in a very quick way, actually make them think in and turn it around so that their behaviors are more positive?
I'm glad you asked. We just recently did, first of all, we do one-on-one mentoring with the youth, and we know that some of our class sizes are very large right now. Mm-hmm. And doing the one-on-one mentoring for students that are having academic challenges, one-on-one is a great setting for them. Mm-hmm. So when coming to the violence-free zone room, we have a room in each middle school that's designated for the violence-free zone youth advisors. When they come down to the room, we help them with homework assistance. We actually did a turkey drive this weekend where what we did was all of the violence-free zone staff donated money for less fortunate youth that were on our caseload. Mm-hmm. So we did about 41 turkeys that were given. We also have a few local people here that had an opportunity to play football. John Clay mm-hmm. Works with the Violence Free Zone program, and okay. he running back, former running back for the Wisconsin Badgers. He played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it was something. It was a concept that they took on last year with him and some other NFL players and some mm-hmm. college players. So we kind of binded in there where we were able to put some money together, and we were able to select. The students to give out turkeys. We also have a coat drive where we are getting coats to give to students that are in need of coats. Mm-hmm. So we're not just a program. We also serve the community, and we give back to the community. We have some other projects that we have going on. We have Keith Fenderson, who also works with us, and he's known for doing local plays here in the community, like Hating in the Church and other plays. Yes. So we did a play with the students at Mitchell Middle called Nicotine, which is the dangers of secondhand smoke. Uh-huh. So what I like to do is to get a chemistry of people that are known in the community that have all of these great values and qualities within them. And that have passion for youth so that we can get out. He taught them how to be in a play, what to do, how to act. And we had over 300 people there. Also, parents came out to see their kids in this play.
Exactly.
And they was very excited about it.
That is good. That's good. What are some of your future goals? What do you plan on doing, let's say, in the next 3 to 5 years with your program? How do you plan on expanding it, or what issues do you think really impact the students now that you would probably need services in the future to meet those needs?
One of our goals is to spread this violence-free zone program worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
This is a program that's already in 39 states. Milwaukee has the violence-free zone mm-hmm. in Milwaukee at their high school level. We are experiencing this at our middle school, at our middle schools mm-hmm. right now. We would like to expand the program. Also, some of those same people that I talked about are some of the people that have a past, too, that wanted a second chance in life. This is their opportunity for a second chance. When I look at application, as long as it don't prevent them from working into the school, mm-hmm. then we would like to have those type of people, because it's their story that changes the lives and the minds of young people. I'm not saying that everybody has to go out there and commit an armed robbery or commit a crime just be able to do some great things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just living that lifestyle and making a change, you're able to bring people in and say, you know what, I know if you can do it, then I can do it. In 2010, I was awarded a pardon, executive pardon from Governor Doyle.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that, read that.
And getting that pardon, it took me 10 years to let the community know that, hey, this time is for real. I'm not out here to fool anybody. I generally love people, and I tell everybody that worked for me, hey, listen, you're just a humble servant. Don't take this lightly that you have an opportunity to be in somebody's life. And if this is not for you, then this is an area that is very, very sensitive, mm-hmm. because sometimes the people that they see in front of them is the only hope that they have. And every life is important to us.
Okay. So the services that you're currently providing is for middle schools only. Why so early? I would think that the issues where it really impacts our community is right before they're turning 18 or right, so like high school area in that time frame. Why isn't this program something that's included in high schools?
Well, it was initially talked about being into the high schools, but mm-hmm. we started at the middle school, and I guess starting early, mm-hmm. we have did some work in elementary already. Mm-hmm. We have been called to some elementary schools, mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing is that we have a real issue with solid parenting, mm-hmm. How to parent, how to be. A real, real good parent to your kids. Some of our parents have went through issues in their lives. They were brought up a certain way, and sometimes those same issues, whether it was right or wrong, mm-hmm. is instilled in some of our youth today. Mm-hmm. I was taught a lot of things in life, but some of the things that I was taught might not have been the right things. So. Hooking up with the right people and being connected with the right people and being able to be that support for the parents that might not have, a good education, might be, going through poverty. There are a lot of people here in Racine and all over this country that has been poverty stricken and they don't have the money to do some mm-hmm. of the things. In some of the schools, image is a big thing, what you wear, latest shoes, the latest clothes. And sometimes kids are intimidated by that, where they're being teased about what they have. So we have to instill in them that, hey, listen, you're not here for a fashion show. Your main focus and your main goal here is for you to get a good education.
I like what you say about how parenting really can impact the behavior of a child in school. I'm assuming that's what I'm hearing. When the parenting is off, when they're not receiving, a child isn't receiving good guidance, it can show, it can manifest in the behavior that they exhibit in school. So if a child hasn't eaten breakfast, we understand that behavior can be seen in things like antsiness and grumpiness in their behavior. How can your program and or teachers, because you work with teachers in the schools, how can your program and the services that you provide and the teachers distinguish between this isn't a behavior problem because the child is just plain uncooperative, or because the child is just really intentionally causing this type of behavior, but because it is lack of food, lack of good parenting, really no direction, and what they get on a 90% basis is what they're going to model. How do your services and that of the teachers, or can you even answer that question? It may not even be something.
I'll say that we work with some real dynamic teachers in Racine Unified. The good part about it is that we can tag team off each other. Mm-hmm. For some of the teachers that are educators, mm-hmm. They come to educate our kids. They come to get our kids to the next level. We oftentimes talk about some of the struggles that kids go through and even mm-hmm. sit down with them. We understand that sometimes that, coming to school, they haven't eaten anything. We usually provide, little snacks during the day. Mm-hmm. We use those as our incentives for mm-hmm. the kids. We say, listen, you bring back this home report. Is everything good here? We're going to give you a bag of chips. We're going to give you, and we keep this in the room because mm-hmm. it works. Mm-hmm. And and they fight so hard all day, and they come back all day with these reports saying, look, I did good all day. Do you have my bag of Takis? I don't know why they like those hot things and all that stuff. But it works. And we really – we talk to them because it's not just about a bag of chip or a piece of candy or a lollipop or a sucker. Behind that there, we also give guidance to that, saying, listen, if you can do that for this, you know, we're going to support you. And we go all out for the students because – we know that there are those issues that you talked about that they're facing, from poverty to parenting at home. We also do home visits. Mm-hmm. We go out on home visits. We call parents during the day. And, you know, sometimes it could be a little frustrating for parents. Oh, you know, I'm tired of the school calling me. And we always say, ma'am, we're here to help you.
Right, right.
Anything that we can support you in doing, we're here for you. And when they hear that, they feel a little bit more relaxed that, you know, they have eyes in the school that really care for their kids.
That is so good to hear. So good to hear. Again, listeners, this is Marlo Harmon, your host for Community Matters, WGTD 91.1 FM. And we are talking with the director of the Violence Free Zone program, Mr. Maurice Horton. And the services that are provided by that program assist in working with schools and teachers, administrators, as well as our local police in decreasing violence and the crimes that are committed, including gang violence among some of our youth in the middle schools. So again, Mr. Horton, welcome. Could you tell me, what are some of the things that you do with the Racine Police and the services that you kind of provide to work with them?
We used to have a program here called the Gang Crime Diversion Task Force Program. It was an after-school program. Kids were actually, they were actually not sentenced but adjudicated to come to this program for a 12-week program. It was a program that was very, very successful. It was more like a street-based program where we weren't inside of the school district, but we were actually inside of our local COP houses, which is the community-orientated policing houses. Mm-hmm. We were at 1146 Villa Street, the Thermore Community Policing House, and we've been around. This was a program that started back in 1996. Mm-hmm. And pretty much one of the young men that work with us now in the Violence Free Zone program, Mr. Keith Finneson, was the author of this program. And for people that was coming out of prison, they gave you an opportunity to come in and talk to the youth. So that kind of excelled, and within 5 to 7 years, it became a national program. We actually presented in 7 different states on a national level about this program. So I've always had that connection with the Racine Police Department, and they always believed in the gang diversion program and what we're doing. Our current chief, Chief Art Howe, at the time he was a sergeant in the police department, and now he's our current chief. And we're always brainstorming on, you know, what is going on in the city, information that is going on in the city. And what we try to do is curb gang violence on every level. And one thing I can say is that we have a real, real good relationship. And I have a real, real good relationship with the Racine Police Department here in the city of Racine.
Well, that is good. That's good. When I think about some of the services that you're providing and how it originally came from a gang prevention type program, it just kind of blows my mind because this area, Racine, Kenosha, just doesn't seem like the typical area that would have a need for gang violence and gang prevention. I see that more of a New York type of thing or a Chicago type of thing. How has a small city like Racine, how has a need for this type of service even come about or even is needed?
One thing I can say is that, you know, if we look at the city of Racine, Racine is between Milwaukee and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Sometime the fallout from Chicago, whether there's a gang war in Chicago, it might end up where parents say, hey, we're leaving this place, we're going for a better life, and they end up moving to Racine. Someone might become a reject from Milwaukee street gang and end up coming to Racine. One thing I'll say is when being out and doing criminal activity, you know, people try to look for places where they think that it would be tolerated. I thought the same thing, that it would be tolerated here for drug selling, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, it was not tolerated. And I found out that that the penalties here, you know, was stiffer. So I can see people from other cities moving to a much smaller city, thinking that they would go up under the radar, thinking that, you know, law enforcement is not smarter than them because mm-hmm. they're from a bigger city. But that's not true, like I said, and I'm a living witness to that. Uh-huh. So I can see where we could have gangs from Chicago moving into the city of Racine. I can also see into the city of Kenosha. You have Joaquin in North Chicago. It's just 5-10 minutes away. It's not a long, you know, long stretch. So I'm not surprised that we have, and I wouldn't say issues, because our as far as gang violence and homicide, we know that the crime has been at a 45-year low mm-hmm. For a city of this size. And, you know, I've been grateful for that. I think the last time that we really, really had a major, major, major breakout was around 2005 mm-hmm. when we had 15 homicides. So,
yeah.
One homicide is too much mm-hmm. or too
exactly.
many.
Exactly.
So I would never put a number on there, because that is quality of life. But I would say that by the work of the Racine Police Department and all the community law enforcement agencies, that it's been kept yeah. at bay. Every now and then something might happen mm-hmm. where there's a shooting or gang ties, or people are still linked up in that. And I think one of the scary things is that it's some of our younger kids now, you know. We're looking at 13, 14, and 12,
really?
Which is very, very dangerous, because of the fact that, you know, to belong to something mm-hmm. without proper guidance is not always a good thing.
Okay. Now, I really don't know a lot about the demographics of individuals within gangs, gang members, and where violence come from. So I'm really not familiar on background or age or race or gender with regards to gangs. But I do understand that the stereotype is that typically a gang member is usually a male, usually lower economic status, a teen of color, so a person of color, African American, Latino, and typically isn't a high school graduate, and they usually start young, so some type of teenage. And I also understand that, so I don't know really that part, but what I do understand is that perception is reality. And right now there's a perception that there's a gap between the relationship of law enforcement and our youth, especially our youth with minorities, especially our minority youth. So our TVs are showing our, you know, African-American young men being shot all over the country, you know, and unarmed teens being shot. But typically what we're seeing are minorities. And when we need a program that is going to create a violence-free zone, and we need to work with police officers, of course, how do you change how do you work with the perception that is out there so that you can still be effective? And I know that's a question that's a lot, but how do you work in the atmosphere or the climate that is going on right now?
I would say when I when I was released from prison, early in the interview, I talked a little bit about coming to a program, and this was a police department program. I had to change my mindset about, you know, I used to always think that all cops were bad because I was on the wrong side of the law. I was doing the wrong thing, so none of them were even worth working with. I have to say this, and I have said this publicly. It was the Racine Police Department that gave me my first opportunity. Mm-hmm. It was the second chance from, you know, at that time, Chief Posehn was the chief, and then now currently we have Chief Howe. Mm-hmm. With those opportunities and people believing in me and watching me grow from being that guy that used to terrorize the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. being that guy that used to sell dope and tear down neighborhoods, they gave me an opportunity to come back and to redeem myself. Mm-hmm. And so in working in that type of program where we were working hand-in-hand with the police department, we did have students that were pretty much on the wrong side of the law and doing some things they shouldn't have been mm-hmm. doing. But there were also some good cops, too. There were a lot of good cops that I ran into in my lifetime.
Me too.
And I've talked to them, and I used to always tell them, like, listen, man, get to know him. You know, just he's not the guy, you know, I know he has a badge on, I know he has a suit on, but if you just come and talk to him.
Get to
and
know him.
A lot of times, and I think that was, that's why community policing was designed, so that the community and the police department or the police in that area could form some type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And so far, in Racine, with the COP houses and the community orientated policing stations that we have here in town, uh-huh. I have seen this over and over again where they reach out uh-huh. to the community. Unfortunately, what has happened in our nation and our country, it's sad uh-huh. that things are on a high level, Ferguson and other cities where people are unarmed and people are being shot multiple times. You know, I ask that we pray for our city and those families, the families that have encountered something like that, and also just the awareness of us teaching our young men of color mm-hmm. When stopped, mm-hmm. what do you do?
Yeah.
When given direction, mm-hmm. what do you do?
Exactly.
You know, because there have been times that, you know, officer have given out a direction and they would say, you know, driver, turn off the car, exactly. and the driver jumps out the car. Okay.
I know. Yes.
He only said turn the car off. He didn't say exit the vehicle.
Exactly.
So just being able to, and one, just the fear, you know, and I talked to my son about that, you know, mm-hmm. hey, you know, you ever stop, man, you know, hey, do exactly what is told to you. Get your ID out when they ask. If it's in the glove compartment, ask them, you know, hey, officer, my exactly. ID is in the glove compartment. Do you want to get it? Do you want me
right,
to get it?
Right.
So it's just the awareness, too, of what's going on. And I'll say this, that every case is a case by case. I have mm-hmm. seen some cases that, you know, I'm not law enforcement. I've seen some things that have happened that have really, really saddened me about, you know, the outcome of it. And, you know, and I pray that our nation healed, that, you know, because we all have to get along. We all have to live as one. And I hope the awareness is heightened, you know,
exactly.
All throughout the nation.
Okay. Is there a website where listeners can go to if they wanted to know more information about your organization and some of the relevant pieces that could actually provide some insight on what they may can do to work to decrease crime overall?
There's a website. It is cneonline.org.
Okay.
That is cneonline.org. My email address is MauriceHorton@yahoo.com. And like I said, you know, I am willing, like I said, I come out to a lot of schools, willing to talk to staff, willing to train teachers on gang awareness. Been around Racine for about 20 years. I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I have the passion.
It seems for like doing you it. Really like what you do.
And yes, I do. And I really want to thank the Racine Unified School District, Dr. Galleon, and Lolly Hall, superintendent, for giving us the opportunity to kind of change the climate of the schools. We're not going to change this thing overnight. We're going to keep mm-hmm. fighting, and we're going to keep pushing, and we're going to keep working with parents and working mm-hmm. with staff and working with administrators until we see change. We have been doing some great things in the schools, and we want to continue. But it takes more than just a program.
Mm-hmm.
It takes everybody. It takes the parent to play a part. It takes the dad to play a part. It takes everybody that's involved in these kids' lives to be a part of it. And one thing I tell people is that if you're not going to be real about something, mm-hmm. don't even tell the kid that you're going to do it. If you're not going to show up at one of their games, don't tell them you're going to show mm-hmm. up at one of your games, because they're looking for you to be that role model for them and to do the right things to get them set on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with volunteers? Does your program work with volunteers? If there were individuals that were interested in just kind of volunteering, being a mentor maybe, or are all your positions and the roles that are played, are they paid?
Yes, they are paid positions. If someone wanted to volunteer, they would go through the regular procedure with the school district. They would fill out a WINGS application where the school would run the background check. They would tell them that they wanted to volunteer with a program. And this is all through Racine Unified. They are the ones that do the approval mm-hmm. or the non-approval. And if you wanted to come in as a volunteer, I would like to volunteer with the Violence Free Zone program, and they are approved. Then I don't see any problem with them coming in to assist us. You know, we always need help. We always need new ideas, mm-hmm. innovative ideas. We want to be very, very creative in the community. And with the help of others, we can do that. Our local churches could play a part in this.
Exactly.
We all have an obligation to serve. And we all have an obligation to reach out our hand and help someone up that is in need.
Now, you say that the core skeleton of the program came from the Washington, D.C. original program?
Yes.
Okay. And so are you able to tweak that, or is that something that's set in stone? I mean, are there any fresh ideas or approaches that you've brought to this role?
We've already, they gave us the opportunity to kind of like set the program up the way it would fit Racine.
Mm-hmm.
We've already did those new innovative ideas like the turkey drive, the community, uh-huh. the coat drive. Around Christmas, we're actually taking a group of kids to the nursing home mm-hmm. where they are making some jewelry now at Mitchell, where they are selling this jewelry that they're making
mm-hmm.
so that they can bring gifts to the elderly at mm-hmm. the nursing home. So we're getting outside of the box. The kids we serve is 12, 13 years old. And we want them to be able to, we want the community to know that every kid that's out here is not a bad kid.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes someone else to plant a seed in them and then also water that seed so that they can grow up to be productive in the community. So the CNE organization, Community and Neighborhood Enterprise Organization in Washington, our hands are not tied of what we want to do. We send them the ideas and say, listen, we're doing this. And they say, hey, that's a great job. That's what we're talking about. Because their motto is getting people out of poverty, creating ideas so that people can come people would be able to help themselves and help their children, with a productive lifestyle.
So how are your kids selected? How are the kids that you work with selected to be a part of the program? What are the criteria?
The kids are selected by administrators, teachers, and counselors. The Violence Free Zone program, it is not a program where kids are just totally at risk. We use straight A students. that can play a part in this, because the Violence Free Zone program is about leadership and about being able to take the youth from where they're at and put them in a leadership position so that they can actually gather their peers in, so that if we're doing something very, very positive, it's attractive, it's something that they want to do, and them being a part of us. Because I think once we let the kids know that they're important, and this school is their school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Unified School. It's
exactly.
their school.
They have a part
and
in
they
it.
They have to have a part in it exactly. and take an ownership in it. Then they'll care more about the school and the property of the school and the things that we will want them to do to be successful in life.
Okay. All right. So I am really liking the information that I am hearing about this program, and how the students kind of work with individuals that are modeling actually value-added work, and how they are, you know, putting back into the community again instead of taking away from the community. So that is good. Tell me what a typical client of what yours look like. Are they typically a straight-A student? Are they typically athletes? Are they which student do you think what typical student benefits the most from the services that you provide?
The student that has one foot in, one foot out. They're
okay.
kind of straddling the fence here. It could go either way, whether they're going to go the way of just totally failing,
okay,
or a student that is doing
sense.
Pretty good, getting decent grades, but the behavior is kind of like out of whack
sense.
A little bit. We really, really strive hard to push them back to, you know, getting good grades and behavior mm-hmm. and being able, you know, just self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues with self-respect and respecting others.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes we look at the academic part, but we have to fix the other part. And that's
exactly.
How can I be respectful enough not to curse out the teachers, not to do something that's going to get me suspended from school.
Right.
So,
right.
But being, you know, letting them know that, hey, listen, we're here for you. We want to work on other words that you can say besides
exactly.
the one that you okay. that you have chosen to say.
All right. Well, Mr. Horton, again, thank you so much for your time and just speaking with us on how your program helps our community, especially our students and our kids as they're growing up through a difficult time, you know, at that age period, you know, pre-adolescence and just kind of adjusting overall, and working with these students so that we can have better outcomes in our schools and in our communities at large. So thank you again. Now, could you just repeat one more time, if someone wanted to get some information or wanted to reach out to you to possibly volunteer, how can they do that? Website, email address, and phone number, please.
The website is cneonline.org. It is our Center of Neighborhood Enterprise website. If you'd like to get in contact with me, my information is MauriceHorton@yahoo.com. And you can contact me through my email. I will respond back to you guys. We are located in four of the middle schools, and that is Starbuck, Mitchell, McKinley, and Gilmore. So those four schools, you guys can reach out to us. And if you like to volunteer with the program, there's a WINGS application that is given by the Racine Unified School District. You can fill that out at central office, and you can put on their program that you like to work with as VFC.
Thank you again, and thank you again, listeners, for joining us this Saturday morning, WGTD 91.1 FM, and we hope that you're able to join us again next Saturday. Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD. Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Bradford High School will have their winter band concert Wednesday, December 2nd at 7 p.m. The concert band, symphonic band, and wind ensemble will perform alongside with students from Bullen and Washington Middle School. Tickets are $5.
WGTD's Morning Show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer. My gosh. You really made me think. You really read the book.